Scripture this morning is Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Hello, my name is Ben. It's been a while. So good to see all of you, to see new faces. Happy New Year to you. I cannot tell you how much God has blessed us with this trip that we had. 20 states in 3 weeks. It's almost 7,000 miles. We have seen the northern part of the country before, but this time we wanted to see the rest. And so we really enjoy that. Really enjoy that. I can tell you many, many more stories. I don't have time right now. I just wanted to tell you one brief, or give you a glimpse, a little short moment. It was the beginning of the trip. Well, it's our tradition not to plan ahead too much. And we decided that we would go about 2 or 3 days before we left. And we enjoyed that way. We left about midnight. And just want you to imagine that. We had a very brief time, and of course we sketched we made a plan where we're going to stop. We're going to look at the map, saw the 3,000 miles and cut it in 4 or 5 and found the closest place, the city where we could spend the night. Well, we decided to drive the longest, and so we drove for about 24 hours. And so I just want you to imagine, as you are, if you can imagine yourself in the car behind the steering wheel. I am driving. It's about 2 a.m. My family is sleeping. Every one of them tired. And fear started coming up to my brain. What have we done? It's about 3,000 miles ahead. It's night. And you know, when night comes, those thoughts come to your head. And you ask yourself a million questions. Why? And I cannot explain how frightened that was for me. I was considering just turning around, coming back. You know, it's winter. We drove cross country, but it was summertime. But winter. And I remember that feeling, that night, dark night, and you look, it's an empty road, and you're not sure if it's slippery or not. Well, I kind of check once in a while on my brakes, but you don't know, and that fear. Well, it's so far from rest, from peace, as it can get, that fear of uncertainty. What is ahead? What is going to happen? I mean, are we going to be okay? And then the choice. You know, God is in control of our lives. He is in charge. He knows everything. I'm just going to let Him be in charge. And then comes peace. And I tell you, the rest of the journey, yes, we would get tired, but that was an amazing, amazing experience. God saved our lives a few times. I'm sure He saved many more times, but I'm aware of a few times when He actually spared our lives. But I want you to remember that. I don't think you have to push yourself too hard to remember, because that's our life. That's the beginning of a new journey. 365 days ahead of us. Well, a little less than that. And we look back. I don't know how you spent your time, your Christmas time, but most of this community spend the time running, 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 stores from store, store from store, getting gifts and running, running. And maybe finally, I hope some of us, maybe all of us here, maybe some people in the community too, had that opportunity to rest and to actually process what is going on. Why is this season? But then everything is gone. And maybe you find yourself in that spot when it's just empty. Maybe this season brings memories to your life that you are not happy about. Maybe you've lost some loved ones, some dear to your heart, and this season, and everything is over, it seems like. What's next? And it's not a comfortable place to be. It's fearful. As we've been driving for the last 3 weeks, and I've been studying the scripture, which I love to do, and the book that I've been reading especially closely, you know, when I have time, I like to read slow. I read every single verse of a chapter a few times. I would stop on each word if I need to, and just take it in, just think about it, pray about it. And, you know, I cannot explain to you, you know, my wife can confirm that, how many times I would say, wow, you know, I cannot believe, I feel like I've come into a very fruitful orchard. And any way you turn in God's Word, it seems like fruits are everywhere. You just have to pick them, and you never get hungry. I don't know, can you relate to that feeling when you read the Word of God? And God opens your mind, and the Holy Spirit is there, and every word is like a bottomless pit, you know, in a good way. It just never ends. It's so enriching. So in this short time, I'll share a few thoughts that came to me as I was reading the book of Hebrews, and God gave me so much encouragement through that. I'd like to start with with this introduction. I know there is a big difference between me reading this scripture and processing every word and then getting up here and retelling that to you when you have not had a chance to go with me, stopping at every word. I know there is a big difference, and it's very difficult to get it as it flies from the pulpit, these words. And so what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to pay attention to the following key words as we will read the scripture. So here are the key words. Rest. And even though there is no word unrest, but it's implied. So rest and unrest. Okay, that's one. Obedience and disobedience. That's two. Belief and unbelief. That's easy so far. And one more word is suffering. Okay? So that's not much. I hope we can keep focused and stay focused on those words. And so as we open Hebrews, we just heard the verses read. Hebrews 3, verse 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Now, just one thing I want you to think about. Well, you can think about whatever you want, but I want you to catch this very important point in these two verses. It seems like they are parallel to each other. And so if they are parallel to each other, it's very important for us to keep focused, to stay focused and keep our eyes open, our ears open, to see how the author, how God writes or speaks to us about something very significant as entering into his rest from different angles. And what is very important, what caught my attention, was verse 18, the last word in my translation says disobedient. Okay? Those who were disobedient, they could not enter. And so I stopped here and I thought, okay, they were disobedient. What they were required to do, that they were disobedient and they didn't do that. What was it? And you know, many things come up. And if I ask myself, when I am disobedient, what does it mean? Do I go against what commandments? What is expected of me? Of course, it's such a broad question because I cannot answer specifically about my life in general. But this is a specific situation in history about the people of God. So they were disobedient. And the answer comes right with the next verse. Verse 19 says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So they were disobedient because of unbelief. These two words, the key words, they are so close to each other. You cannot say they're equally, they're equal, that means the same, but you cannot separate them either. If I am not trusting enough God, as a result of this untrust or disbelief of unbelief, disobedience will come. Disobedience. And we can even make one step further. What if God expects from us belief? What if that's what He expects from us? Just believe. Just trust Him. And if we don't, then we disobey. As simple as that. You don't have to make it too complicated. But that's what it is. That's what he is saying here. They didn't enter into His rest because of unbelief. And that was the disobedience. Now, as we read further, Hebrews 5, verse 8. Talking about Jesus and His experience on earth, this verse gives us a very interesting aspect to the gospel story. Let's read that together. Hebrews 5:8. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. Now, I hope we can make connection in our mind. We just talked about obedience / unbelief, or disobedience / unbelief, right? So it's connected. Obedience comes from faith, from belief. And that's another link that we can add to this chain. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. Now, why do you think it's important to have that experience, to have suffering in order to learn obedience? How does that work? What was about that suffering in Jesus' life that actually taught Him obedience? And as we already know, it taught Him faith, belief. What was it? Well, one aspect of it is Hebrews 2:18. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted. That's one kind of suffering. When He was tempted, He suffered. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So when He suffered in temptation, He learned obedience, and we can say for sure that He learned, or he chose to trust. Now, it goes on. You know, we are building this chain because it's very interesting how the Scripture just opens up in front of our eyes. 1 Peter 2:23. 1 Peter 2:23. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting or commit Himself or deliver over Himself. himself to him who judges justly. So another aspect of his suffering that actually from Scripture we know already that helped him to learn obedience and trust was rejection. And specifically it says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued in trusting himself. You know, this is actually the key to understanding how it works. When I find myself, when you find yourself in the middle of this suffering, be it temptation or rejection or other kinds of suffering, we have a choice. And the key to good choice, actually it is a good choice in itself, is to keep entrusting ourselves to him who judges justly. It's just like when you are driving, when I was driving, and you have this fear, what is going to happen? And instead of returning back, instead of keep that fear in your mind just going more, or growing more and more, you entrust yourself to him who is in charge. That's the key. And from this trust, actually, you know, the way it works, we need to know something about God at this point to do that. We need to know at this point that he is actually trustworthy. We need to know at this point that he is big enough that he can handle your situation. And then you just entrust yourself into his hand. Whatever that is. Maybe right now is something in front of you when you think about January, when you think about February and this year. Maybe some things are ahead of you that are not pleasant and scary. But God is big enough to handle those things. And so the best we can do is entrust ourselves to him. Commit ourselves to him. Deliver ourselves to him. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust or offer their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. I don't even need to add a word to this. It just says it all. Now, let's keep reading. It's interesting how we see that connection. So far we've seen disobedience is connected to unbelief. Then we've seen that actually obedience in Jesus' experience came from suffering. And the choices that he made to continue entrusting himself in the hands of the one who is in charge. Now let's read this, 1 Peter 4:1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, do you see the connection? Christ learned obedience in suffering because he made the choice to entrust himself into the hands of his Father. This verse tells us, in suffering, actually, we have a privilege to cease from sin. Now, let's make that connection with the beginning of what we talked about. The Israelites, they were disobedient, right? They were sinning because they were not trusting God. They had unbelief as resulted in disobedience, which was sin. And this verse tells us, and let's read that again. It's so important. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now that's a huge privilege that is offered to us. To cease from sin. But it's not because we will try to be sinless. It's only because we will keep trusting the one who is in charge. That's how it works. In suffering, when we are tempted to turn our back on God, when we are so in pain, when everything seems so scary and dark, I encourage you, not I encourage you, God encourages you to entrust yourself to Him, just like Jesus did every time in His suffering. And as a result of that, is ceasing from sin, which is basically getting rid of unbelief. I'm just repeating the same thing with different words. It's not me. It's wonderful when you read Scripture and you see these parallels, you see how God opens your mind and shows you how it works. So the Israelites did not enter God's rest because of disobedience, which actually was unbelief. Christ learned obedience through what He suffered. How? He kept delivering Himself or committing Himself or entrusting Himself into the hands of God. When we suffer, we are given the opportunity to cease from sin, which is, instead of keep doubting who God is, we choose trust and we trust Him. And as a result, we enter into His rest. That's what it's all about. When we let God be God, we enter into His rest. In closing, I'd like to read Hebrews 3, verse 12 and on. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Hebrews 3:15. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So if you are sitting here today and you are hearing His voice in your circumstances, in your context, in the context of things that you are thinking about will come or may come this year, don't let your heart be hardened by unbelief. Trust Him. And that will bring us into His rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You offer us Your rest. You know our circumstances. You know everything, every pain, every challenge, every tear. Lord, You don't give us pink glasses to be not realistic about this life. Lord, You honestly tell us that as Christ suffered, we will find ourselves in suffering. But there is an opportunity for us as we go through different kinds of sufferings, for us to choose to trust You, trust ourselves, to know that You are big enough to handle everything. And Lord, we pray today as we begin together as the church this new year, we pray that this year will be a year of us entrusting ourselves to You fully, every day. And may this peace, the rest of Yours that comes from it, or with it, will be our testimony to this community, so we can bring others to the rest that You give. Heavenly Father, we pray that our worries about our own salvation will be taken by Your hand, and peace and assurance of salvation will be given to us, and that peace will result in fruitful sharing of Your gospel. In Your name we pray. Amen. We invite all of you who would like to participate in the communion to make your way to the place where you can participate in a foot washing ceremony.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm certain that we don't have a full realization of what this means, but as we try to understand, we pray that we will be fully choosing to take you into our lives. Thank you for providing this gift for us. Amen.
We have a tradition, a good tradition, when a time like this, when we share our testimonies. And if you'd like to share, maybe in just one sentence, something that is meaningful to you, something that that you're grateful for, that will be as a prayer to God, as a prayer of praise, you can do that right now. I'd like to start just saying that I'm so grateful that God can handle the problem of sin. And I want to praise Him for that. That's the biggest problem there is. And He can handle that. He actually has a solution to that in Jesus. Great plan of salvation for us. Melinda is thankful for you. Well, at this point, we'd like to invite our deacons to come forward, and we'll have another session of our testimonies as we will pass the wine. This is a special moment. I know and I believe God knows us so much. He understands that we need this. We need something that we can touch, and actually we can digest this, which is a symbol of Him giving Himself for us. And if you can just pause for a second and ponder that thought, that we are not worthy, but because His love, His great love for us, and His endless love that desires us to be with Him, He offers Himself for us. And all we can do at this moment is say, "Yes, Lord, we accept Your offer." And let's do that with our deepest gratefulness in prayer.
Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Shall I bow our heads for prayer? Father, thank You so much, Lord, for coming to this world and for giving Your life, giving Your blood for us. Without that sacrifice, we would be lost, and we are so grateful for that. And help us to realize how much that cost You and to put that in practice in our lives. We do love You, Lord. Amen.
Once again, if you have something on your heart as a testimony and praise, you are welcome to share it right now. And I'd like to thank God again for the simplicity of His grace and His gospel. It's so deep, yet it's so simple that everyone has a chance. Well, thank you for sharing your praises and your testimonies. I'd like to invite our deacons to come forward at this time. In closing, I invite you to open the hymnals, number 350. And we are going to sing our closing song. And afterward, again, as we have a tradition, we're going to take an offering at the exit from the sanctuary for our Good Samaritan Fund. And so if you'd like to participate in that, you're welcome to do it afterwards as you will exit the sanctuary. I invite you to stand for our closing song, number 350. God has prepared blessings for each one of us. And I'd like to read His word, as it has been said already. It has power. It has power to create. And I'd like us to receive these words with faith. That's what God wants us to have. And I'm reading from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.